evening and welcome to The Big Fight, a show that is young at 21, the oldest running debate show on Indian primetime television. I'm Sanket Upadhyay. The problem we face most is what to accept as reality and what not. So the easiest way to decode this is to define things as a good reality and the bad reality. First, the good reality. Interfaith marriages and interfaith harmony exist in this country. It is a fact. But then there is a bad reality as well. Communal clashes and religious conflict too is a reality in this country. But here is the thing. What do we want to celebrate is going to define our character. Will we celebrate our unity or our differences? The Tanishq ad withdrawal has kick-started this very basic and fundamental debate, which ideally we should not be having. Have we all started celebrating the bad reality, where we celebrate and accept bigotry and communal differences? So on The Big Fight tonight, the Tanishq ad withdrawal, despite reasonable backlash, bigotry has remained unchallenged even now. Many people say, oh, this is an old story, why are you flogging a dead horse? No, because this matter remains unchallenged. And could this have happened? Again, a very important question. Can this happen without political patronage? On The Big Fight tonight, the question that we are asking, have we in this country normalized bigotry? Let's quickly start The Big Fight. I have Mr. Harish Bijur, brand expert and founder of Harish Bijur Consults. Thank you very much. Pradyuman Maheshwari, editor-in-chief of MXM India and also a commentator. We also have Dilip Cherian, Hindal Sengupta, author and historian. We have from Trivandrum, Rahul Ishwar, author and activist. Thank you very much, Rahul, for joining us. And Rajat Sethi, he's an economist and a political analyst, is also with us. Thank you very much for joining us. In just a short moment, we'll have Anuja Chauhan also. He's an author. He's going to join us in just a bit. All right, the format of the show, very simple, and this is going to be a long discussion because we want to talk about each and every aspect on whether we have started celebrating the bad reality than the good reality. Harish Bijur, the format is that each one of you panelists get 1 minute each. We call this the first punch. So we'll begin with Mr. Harish Bijur first. Mr. Bijur, your time starts now.
Okay. Sanket, first of all, you know, good reality versus bad reality. I think that's a great, great thing to discuss. I think it's a macro issue which we need to start with. And the macro issue is that we need to sensitize ourselves once again. We have lost a certain degree of sensitivity, the willingness to listen, the willingness to debate, the willingness to allow differences, the willingness to let differences live, if not thrive. In fact, we have lost the skill of polite conversation. The noise level of conversation has gone up. The tone, tenor, and decibel of conversation has gone awry. And, you know, we have lost the willingness to listen, which is a very, very easy thing to start good conversation. In fact, the environment, as I see it, is overheated, and we need to consciously cool it down. We need to reverse a very, very overheated people. I think we are a very overheated people at this point of time. Add to it the pandemic pressures, mental health issues resultant from the pandemic, and I think we are sitting on a powder keg with an issue.
Dilip Cherian, the first punch, your 1 minute time.
Sure. In my view, this is a battle between three forces. And the forces are those of history, hysteria, and hope. So you have on the one side a bunch of people who are seeking, as it were, to reverse the history of 60 years of India and change that around. And because it is a difficult mission, because it is a mission which is fraught with pushbacks from a people who have a different reading of the same history. Therefore, a lot of people who are trying this project of redoing history, as it were, are in constant hysteria mode. As a result, exactly what Harish said, that we've had an overheated society where at least the sections that indulge in this debate, this ongoing debate for 21 years, which you've been hosting,
sure,
is is lacking in hope.
Yeah, so okay. Mr. Chairman, I'm going to come back. You can complete your thoughts once I've completed the whole round. You can complete your thought in just a short moment. Hindol Sen Gupta, let's come to you now. Hindol, your opening comments for a minute, please.
Mentioned an overheated society and this idea of distance between hysteria and hope. What we really have today is what we think of as the past where everybody politely debated. It was really essentially a small number of people. Now, some people may call those people elite. Some people may call them, you know, just a subsection of the urban population, whatever, you know, terminology you want to use. That was a small club, and there were very few dissenting views in that club. More or less, everybody agreed. Now, what social media has done is it has opened the floodgates to a vast, vast number of people whose opinions really were never on the table. And maybe many of us don't agree with those opinions, but they are on the table. There's no way to escape that. And in a sense, social media, even though a very small number of people are on Twitter, basically it punches above its weight. So therefore, brands obviously take it seriously, and everybody should take it seriously, because if you try to, you know, submerge and silence this voice, this will keep coming out again. 20 years of liberalization has given people the confidence to air whatever their views
are.
I
get the point, Hindol. The one-minute time is over.
Some may not find it prejudice, but I'm gonna... all those views are now on the table. And we have to fight
Views are on the table. And I'll have something to say or something to add to what you're saying. While what you're saying is the reality, but there is a good and bad to this also. Everybody needs to, they can air their views. Yes, they can. But should it be factual? Yes. Right now, is it factual? No. Right? That is also a debatable point. Hindol, I'm going to come back to you. Very quickly, Rajat Sethi. Let's take opening comments. Hindol, before you answer, opening comments from everyone, and then I promise I'll come back to you. Rajat Sethi, 1 minute.
Yeah, thank you. My sense of this this current incident is that this is just one more manifestation of the larger cancel culture that we have seen for the past 5-6 years. And this started largely coinciding with the humongous growth of social media. And alongside that, liberals started losing power. But they did have access to the mouthpieces. They had access to the boards of corporations wherein they could enforce what we call today is the cancel culture. They tried incessantly for the past 4 or 5 years to practice this against certain conservative voices. Even in India, we saw award vapsi vapsi and a cancel Modi, cancel RSS kind of a thing as well. So largely a digital bhasmasur was created. And this bhasmasur is now coming to haunt the very same liberal set of ideas that they have been trying to protect. And this is where I believe that principally the jury is still out, and I am personally split that do you support the cancel culture or do you oppose it? A lot of thinkers are debating this question, because at one side there is freedom of expression. Everybody, as long as it is not violent, is free to express their dissent, is free to express their cancel.
I think, Rajat, you've mentioned a very interesting thing. Perhaps we'll debate that someday, very soon. A debate on cancel culture in this country, whether we have taken it too far or whether we haven't, because that is too a very interesting debate to have. Rahul Ishwar, your first punch, 1 minute of your opening comments time begins now.
I am a Hindu activist, to be more specific, a forward caste Hindu Brahmin activist. And what is happening is what Pujaniya Sarsang Chalak Guruji Golwalkar said. Out of fear, or a false fear of Muslim population growth, out of a misunderstanding that Muslims can marry four and they are multiplying, some of our people are showing chauvinism, some of the people are showing insecurity. The core thing that is happening is a fear of population replacement, a false fear of population replacement in the Hindu forward caste mind, masking itself as nationalism, masking itself as casteless nationalism, taking on everything. This was an earlier thing of Surf Excel. There was no love jihad angle, but still people along with me outraged. So it is basically a manifestation of inner fear that our population is being getting over, that fear is false, but that is the core and root of it. Unless you address the identity politics and the reality of it, we are never going to find a solution to it, rather than only scratch and be superficial about it.
All right. In just a short moment, we'll have Anuja Chauhan as well as Mr. Pradyuman Maheshwari, who hasn't spoken as of this moment. Let's start the big fight and they can join us later. All right. Harish Bijur, you know, the point that you were making just a short while ago. See, the point is that... you know, Hindol says that this is the floodgates have opened. People are now openly opining. They're their views which were not respected in society, or they were not even given an opportunity to air their views, are now at the click of a button able to air their views. But at what point will we realize in the society that every view is not the correct view? You may argue that there, you know, this is very subjective, good view, correct view, incorrect view. But the point is that it has to be based on fact. And the fact that we choose to peg our opinion upon is going to define us. And when there will be political patronage to these bad views or bad realities, then it will further complicate issues. Harish Bijur.
Yes. If you really look at these two issues, you know, the good reality and the bad reality, it's a fight between the two. And this fight has just begun because, you know, we are just about getting digital in a real manner. Politically speaking, if you see, you know, the biggest fights happen between neighbors. Look at any two sets of neighbors as countries, and we have the issue. We have neighbors fighting with one another because it's only neighbors who can trample around on another's foot. And that is exactly what's happening today. You know, if you really look at it, the contentious issues that we talk about today, which bring out the good and the bad, is all about the digital life. Because digitalism has all of a sudden made adjacencies all too close. Because, you know, in the older days, the adjacencies were differentiated by the physical barriers. Today, digital gets you there, and everyone is just a tweet away. Everyone is one Facebook post away. Everybody is one WhatsApp away. In fact, the personal space, which we used to respect at a point of time, has got condensed. And the public space around it has actually got energized beautifully. So how long will it take for this battle to continue? I think it'll take a long period of time, because the traction of the digital is what is pushing it all to create this
Would you agree that it is also the traction of digital is also normalizing bigotry? Because if we were to talk about particular incident, in this particular incident, Mr. Bijur, the movement happened on social media. The trolling happened on social media, and then it hit the ground.
Absolutely. If you look at it, you know, there were two views and two viewpoints in the old days, and even today they exist. One is the view of the class. One is the view of the mass. And guess what? The view of the mass is very, very important. And the view of the mass is possibly very loud as well.
Even if it doesn't make sense.
Even if it doesn't make sense, it doesn't matter. Because please note, on social media, you have two kinds of animals, right? You have the vocal minority and the silent majority, even on social media. So I think, you know, that push coming to sharp will keep happening.
Okay, sure.
And sometimes the bad will overtake the good.
Yeah, the bad will make a lot of noise. That is my conclusion on the basis of what you have said. Because the good is largely going to remain silent. Anyway, Mr. Maheshwari, I believe, is now back with us. Let me just quickly check one more time. Mr. Maheshwari, can you hear me?
Yes, I am around. And but the only thing is I haven't heard the others, what they have
that
said.
That is okay. We've just begun. Mr. Maheshwari, let's take your opening comment. What do you think about the topic as far as the Tanishq withdrawal is concerned? Do we feel that we've normalized bigotry in this country?
Well, not at all. You know, let me make a few points. One, Hardik Bhavsar is followed by Messrs. Amit Shah and Narendra Modi. Not only do they follow him, but several other trolls who target communities, trolls who target women. No other head of government really follows anti-social elements. You know, we all know that the CEA was politically motivated bigotry. There are leaders who have made very communal statements in the capital, and they have, and nothing has happened to them. So clearly, bigotry is there, is here to stay. And I'm not really surprised as to what has happened. The fact that it has happened in a BJP ruled state does indicate that perhaps they have the patronage of the powers that be. But it's just really a sad case where, I must confess, I was not too happy about Tanishq, what they did. But the fact of the matter is that, and despite the fact that this it belongs to a corporate which had the Jagore campaign, but what do you do when you have people threatened, and when you have stores worth crores
very,
of goods
very being
possibly vandalized.
From the brand that gave us Jago Ray has had to do this, then what does this speak or say about the present times? Hindol Sen Gupta, let me now come back to you. First of all, you can finish the point that you were making, and then also maybe a comment or two on what people are seeing.
Two comments, really, Sanket. Number one, I have tweeted about this, so it's not hidden at all. I think it would have been better, considering the kind of news we see all the time and the kind of underlying tensions that remain in our country even today, if the brand would have shown both sides, as it were, the family's reverse. Because a lot of people, at least that's what I saw on my timeline and elsewhere, were fine if both had been shown. Be that as it may, my larger point is these are old tensions in our country. And you're right in pointing out that there are many instances of successful integration too. But the point is a lot of people still have very deep concerns and deep feelings about this. And this is not going to go away in a hurry. This has got really ratcheted up, as it were, especially because, you know, with all the terror attacks that have happened around the world, other issues even in our country, the news that we see from different parts of the world, and of course, you know, politics from around the world, including, of course, in every part of the world. So my larger point is, there is one thing to say that this is all bigotry, let's just silence this voice. My humble suggestion is that we will not be able to actually silence this. We have to address this. We have to address this effectively.
Interesting.
And we have to put out a middle path. Because the elite reverse opinion of this always is, these guys are all bigots, let's shut them out. That you cannot do anymore, those days are gone. We have to come to a middle path where we allow truth and reconciliation about all issues.
But then, Hindol, who will do it?
A balanced society.
Who will do it, Hindol? Because, see, the allegation over here, Hindol, is that if these people will get political patronage, and I'm not talking about any specific political party, and I'm not talking about any specific instance, all political parties do this. All of them, right? They deal with the bad reality. They experiment with the bad reality. All of them. I want to ask you, if those people who have the quote-unquote political will, if they don't exercise their political will or use it to promote bigotry, then what chance do we have? Then we are only appealing to the people's conscience.
But remember, in a democracy, what is the flip side of a democracy, Sanket? The flip side of a democracy is that all political parties, as you said, will finally lean towards what they see as mass opinion. Wherever the numbers are larger, that's where every political party in a democracy.
Yeah, but then we can
now,
never get rid of
civil society.
The societal problems.
My comment. It is up to civil society to come together and push forward better narrative with numbers, not just as elite opinions, but with numbers, so that actually.
No, I don't think people will agree with you a lot, Hindol, over there, because, you know, by that logic, there were many societal evils that could not have been done away with had there been just civil society pressure. They were done away with because there was political will. The social evils were removed, or at least an attempt was made to remove them because there was political will. Left to society, this would have never changed. Harish Bijur, let me come back to you. Would you agree with what Hindol is saying? That governments in a democracy or any political party in a democracy will tend to lean towards the majority view. Then majority view is this.
There are problems in the society. I would like to very quickly go back, basis what Hindol has said, you know, to a point I just made about saying that, you know, hey, listen, there are two viewpoints. One is the viewpoint of the classes and one is the viewpoint of the masses. And guess what? In a democracy, what is important is the viewpoint of the masses and not of the classes. Now, what will happen is progressively, as we get deeper and deeper into the percolation, into the communication systems, actually gaining ground within the masses of India, we will come across many of these challenges and hurdles. What is required is a certain degree of responsibility. And this responsibility emerges from responsible leadership. And responsible leadership is all about saying that, you know, hey, listen, we need to learn, we need to retrain, we need to know how to behave in public space, yeah. which is a lost art today. And you know, otherwise, what will happen is niche messaging. I mean, you know, let me take a look at Tanishq messaging, for instance, because that's what started this debate.
Yeah.
That is niche messaging. Niche messaging must go through niche channels. Today, the reality is there are no niche channels. Everything is a mass media channel. And it's as mass media as the WhatsApp that lands up on your phone. And mass media has a habit of hurting some people and pleasing some people.
Okay.
So it's a question of saying, in a democracy, both these things work, but it's a yin and yang. I mean, there is sure. there is one segment and another. If it's 50-50, it's fine. But if it's 10-90, there's imbalance.
Right. Rajat Sethi and Rahul Ishwar, one by one, and then Dilip Chetan. Let's get in your views. Rajat first, and then Rahul.
When corporations, they decide to step right into the fault lines of the society, they need to do, at least demonstrate some level of accountability, some level of understanding of what the fault lines, how deep the fault lines are, and what reactions might come through, because reactions will come. That is something which is a settled fact now. At this stage, do you want to curb the voice of the corporations or the voice of the people who are reacting to it? None, because see, if you start curbing the voices and calling the others bigot, it tends to start a slippery slope. And any kind of liberal set of ideas cannot thrive when you start shutting one voice over the other, calling one voice to be higher in set of morals or occupying a higher moral pedestal. That is where the real trouble begins. And this is what I believe is, and this is where a lot of thinkers around the world, including Salman Rushdie's and Noam Chomsky's of the world, are actually thinking and debating that the power of expressing what people genuinely feel, which also includes corporations, how far does it stretch? Does it stretch even into the realm of very actively trying to defend and boycott voices which do not align with our set of ideas?
Yeah.
And this is where it is not a settled thing. And we are seeing this over and over again. We just saw what happened with Bloomsbury publication. A certain set of ideas which are put out, it could be factually wrong. I mean, we can all debate on that. But
correct.
A book was withdrawn because of the pressure of a certain small section of minority which had blue text on Twitter.
Correct.
And they were able to bully through a publisher to withdraw that thing.
No,
so
that I want to make, Anuja Chauhan is now also with us. Anuja, hi, good evening. Can you hear us?
Yes, all good.
Hi. Let me ask you this question. Anuja, what do you think? I mean, in the back of this Tanishq ad withdrawal, first of all, do you think that the ad should have been made in the first place? I would guess your answer would be yes. Should it have been withdrawn in the face of protests? I want to know from you. And secondly, now that it has been withdrawn, post-withdrawal, people landing up at stores, asking for apologies to be pasted on the door of those stores, and all of this being considered acceptable, do you think that we are normalizing bigotry? Anuja Chauhan.
Yes, 100% you're normalizing bigotry. The ad should never have been withdrawn. It's completely shameful that an advertiser is being pressurized. And like you say, this kind of thing is being normalized. It's definitely not correct. It's unconstitutional. It's illegal. And it's highly demoralizing to anyone who believes in the idea of India. From a marketer's hat on, I still think that Tanishq has essentially achieved a lot of what they were hoping to achieve. They've been seen as a brand that stands for inclusivity and for love and for women power and for all the secular values that India stands for. I don't think that this has backfired on them in any way. I think a lot of people will be buying their jewelry and a lot of people will be talking about the brand. So from the brand's point of view per se, I think it's quite successful from a marketing point of view. So Tanishq has succeeded, but India has failed. That's what I think.
Oh, interesting comment. Rahul Ishwar, do you want to come in? Rahul and then Dilip Chetan.
Let me address the elephant in the room. A preliminary reading of 1 hour of social media will get us understand the real problem. And let me paraphrase Mahatma Gandhi in this context. You think hatred and bigotry is the enemy. No, fear is the enemy. There is a false fear among Hindu forward caste communities regarding a false fear of population replacement. This is the reason why Giriraj Singh says there should be mass sterilization. This is the reason why somebody says 1947 our Muslim brothers and sisters should have been sent back. This is the reason why somebody glorifies Godse who killed Gandhiji for living up to Hindu-Muslim unity. Why don't we speak to real issues that real concerns mass psychology and go about a very intellectual academic circle of talking elite concepts? The reality is there is a Hindu-Muslim clash and hardliners of both community, especially the forward caste community, want to peddle it and create a narrative. See, unless we discuss this and solve this, this is a false fear. I'm being a Hindu right-winger. I am with all the Hindu right-wing causes. I've gone to jail for this. But this is the false fear we need to address. And who has to address it? Sagarji, people like you and me, especially forward caste Hindu community, we are, or people along us,
I'm not
going to
bring in
makers.
Caste in here.
This is the reality, sir. We are masking ourselves. We are masking ourselves. The left wing is masking themselves as casteless humanists. The right wing is masking themselves as casteless nationalists. The reality is it is our problem and we fail to address it. And we think just by saying the word humanism or nationalism, the problem will get automatically
you
solved.
You do make a compelling point, but I don't think people will stand in agreement. I'll come back to Anuja Chauhan in just a bit, but Dilip Chair, please go ahead.
You know, what people are not realizing is that this whole issue of what's going on social media is not actually in the hands of the new masses who have been unleashed onto the internet and therefore have found a voice. Please understand that there are companies, corporates, who are actually controlling all of this. Similarly to what's happening here, there is a movement in America just now during the elections where there is a section of people who want to sell the idea that the opponents to Trump are part of a satanic cult. So now Facebook and YouTube and Twitter have had to tune that down. Those voices are being silenced. I'm not asking for the silencing of any voice. All I'm saying is that the Tanishq ad showed up a fault line which is based on fear and hatred.
And has always existed. Would you agree?
And there I agree with Rahul Ishwaran that has existed. It is getting exacerbated, etc., etc.
Okay.
But the political support that trolls get is the same kind of support that the mad mullahs get. So you have the trolls of a particular kind doing one kind of thing, and you have absolutely insane mullahs who will come out and attack you from the other side. I think what is happening in society today is that we are losing the levers of tuning out these extreme positions. You know, we don't need to get to
yeah, I think,
extreme
I think
violence.
In fact, you will be called a man who is doing monkey balance, tarazu journalist. These are the words that are often used for people
right.
who try to listen.
I
face this all the time. Yeah,
you need to put the fader on the extreme voices, and you need to allow the other voices to debate, and that is what will result in a new reality and hope for a new India. Because without all that, there's nobody going to invest in this country.
Yeah.
There's nobody going to
actually purchase. Oh, very, very, very interesting point. Very interesting point that Dilip Chairman makes. If we don't fix these fault lines, then Anuja Chauhan, do you think that hate is going to make for bad economics? And that is something, I'll come to you, Rajat Sethi also. He's the economist here.
Anuja Chauhan. We've seen that everywhere. More and more advertisers. See, you cannot sell in an atmosphere of hate. If a country is constantly being made to feel like, oh my God, we are going to be overrun by a rampant Muslim population which is breeding like there's no tomorrow, and that there are wars and there are fault lines, who is going to buy diamonds? Who is going to buy a vehicle? Who is going to invest in land and property? Economics will go right out of, it will just completely collapse. If you create such an atmosphere of fear and hatred and fighting and fault lines, which person is going to put their card in their pocket?
No, two things, Anuja, two things.
Actively
creating an atmosphere of fear or not doing enough to stop the atmosphere of fear. These are two totally different things.
Not doing enough is creating more fear.
Okay.
You're creating fear. Like, people are afraid to speak up. People are afraid to say that In the 70s, we could make a movie like Amar Akbar Antony.
Yeah.
And today, the entire country is brought to a standstill. And the topic on all the news headlines today is a Tanishq ad, which just talks about a loving marriage between two religions.
Mr. Maheshwari, let me ask you this.
Fear,
and then
fear
Mr. Biju.
Is being fed to us. There is no fear. It is just being manufactured and created. And these fault lines, people are busy, you know, drilling at the fault lines to widen them. And
No, that's why my question, have we normalized it? Has it now become normalized? It is acceptable to do this and continue to do this. You know, that little shame in having done this or in doing this is now gone. I don't know whether with political patronage or not, but to the point on bad economics, hate making for bad economics, Rajat Sethi, I want to come to you now. What do you have to say? You know, it's like saying I'm going for tourism in Syria, as Richa Chadda said once.
Yes.
In our program.
See, Richa Chadda very much, shops and goes out on spending spree in India also. So again, see, economic argument is such a flawed argument. If you start with an economic argument, if today you're making this argument and tomorrow if the economy is successful in getting those investments, would you say that the bigotry has gone down or whatever you're trying to pose it as a point here? Of course not. So do not mix societal issues with economics broadly. Yes, corporations feel the pressure when they directly step into the fault line. They are making a choice. They are making a choice to be part of the public discourse. When they make that active choice of being part of that discourse, they need to be they need to understand that there are going to be differing views, and you need to at least attempt to reconcile those things. If not, then you are directly going to get hit. And
no, Rajat, by that logic, if I were to add, by that logic, a Zomato, when in August 29 a person wrote to Zomato saying that I do not want my food delivered from a Muslim agent, Zomato wrote back saying that food has no religion, right?
Fair
Do you
enough.
Think
so,
that they
again,
should not? That made for bad economics? Do you think which is very openly
is
speaking up, is making for bad economics?
No. What I'm saying is that economics is not the question here. Economics cannot drive and answer societal problems. One way or the other, now today, Rajiv Bajaj might be making position. Tomorrow, there will be a few more corporates which will make opposing position. How does that address any of the societal questions? See, you need to understand, even Twitter, Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg and Jack Dorsey, all of them are under constant pressure from the liberals also to constantly shut the conservative voices. Mm. We see that over and over again. And there is this big campaign that there will be no advertisements for hate. There'll be no sponsorship for hate. Fine, do that. But there will be counter attacks coming in from the conservative side also.
Let's talk
because
about...
you are trying to unnecessarily cobble up the economy.
Okay, fine. I get your point. Rahul Ishwar, very quickly, and then Hindo.
Just two lines. It's high time we nurture a center-left liberal ecosystem and a center-right conservative ecosystem.
No, this is very complicated. Go slowly.
No, this is the simple thing.
What ecosystem?
No, this is the most simple thing. No, this is just one line. This is the most simple thing. This was what Mahatma Gandhi did with a right-leaning Patel and a left-leaning Nehruji. This is what all nations of the world do with the Fox News on one side and a CNN on the other side. This is the real norm of everywhere. This is called political spectrum, which emerges from a philosophy concept of nature versus nurture. Let us encourage moderates of both spectrum and let us honestly address our pluralism. And please remember, questions of identity politics can never be solved by economics alone. We need to be honest with it, and from a Gandhian perspective, we need to deal in a soft Hindu manner to create a pluralistic society.
Okay. Mr. Maheshwari and then Hindo. Anuja also wants to... Anuja Chauhan seems to be enjoying this conversation. I'll come back to you, Anuja. Just one moment. Yes, Mr. Maheshwari.
Hello.
Yeah, Mr. Maheshwari. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I can... I haven't heard everyone, but I must tell you, when I heard about responsible leadership, you know, responsible political leadership is almost like an oxymoron. You know, but here, I think we need to look at how this incident is going to impact perhaps the entire creative world. We have had movies. I heard of the mention of Amar Akbar Antony. But how is this going to impact the entire creative process in this country? We've had a situation as a journalist who's worked in the 1990s, and one would talk fairly easily about Muslims and Hindus. After the Mumbai riots, we we would always address Muslims as minorities.
Hmm.
And I think from then on, journalism has changed. But here we had a creative process. Here was an ad which was very innocuous, and it was loved by a whole lot of people when we all saw it. And this is going to impact the entire creative process. And it's unfortunate that the political leaderships of the day are not doing anything about it.
Very important point.
And here's the thing where, you know, Mr. Tata has some great connects with the powers that be in Nagpur. He could have just ensured that, you know, this thing is perhaps nipped in the bud. So clearly this is going to have a far-reaching impact on the entire creative process and people who,
you know, in like speech Anushka. After speech, Hindal Sen Gupta, speech after speech of the Prime Minister, he keeps saying that whenever people talk about caste, minority, religion, they're just trying to divide the society. You never talk about Vasudev Kutumbakam, right? All his speeches give out this message. The message is good. But when you juxtapose this with the radio silence, when incidents happen where this message is supposed to be really delivered and reiterated, that's where the problem lies. That's when people question that what you are saying and what is happening under your leadership. I'm not blaming the Prime Minister. I'm saying the percolating of the message, that is not happening. Hindal.
This is the problem. What happens is that there's always this gathering of, you know, people like you and me, and we always come to the same conclusion. This is the problem. This is where the, you know, a large majority or many, many people of this country feel that their voices of concern is never addressed. Let me think. Just give me a couple of minutes to complete my point. Number one, prime ministers don't address issues because there is an outrage on an ad on Twitter. Expecting any prime minister to do so is completely naive. That's number one. Number two, there is a clear fault line. We have to address the fault line. There are many people in this country who believe, and I said this on Twitter also, that ideally both sides of the story should be shown. That would make a healthy society. There are many people in this country who feel that at the end of the day, since there is no reciprocation, one side of the story cannot be shown. And how do we fix that? We fix it by bringing in equitable laws. In our country today, even today, we still don't have a uniform civil code. Are we one country under one set of laws? No, we are not. And the day we do that, it's a beginning. You want government to act? Yes, indeed.
No, Hindal, one moment. What does strong governance,
to begin with,
which does not
confidence
one
in
moment.
Society with
Hindal, one moment. See,
law.
Again, now let's people will there. Accuse you of
let's
pushing an agenda.
Let's not be bothered only about consequences. Let's attack the problem at the root.
No, so you're saying once uniform civil code will come, then this bigotry will not happen?
No, can I'm point saying it's a beginning. No. Once again, don't put words in my mouth, Sanket. I'm saying it's a beginning. If you want to
point out
one
side,
one more.
You must put a framework of equity. The framework of equity is the right kind of law. Once you put the framework of equity, then comes the next part, which is to build it in society step by step. But first you have to put the framework, and the framework is something like a uniform system.
I think the problem is when we try to underline and underscore the biases of the society and give them legitimacy each night, each day, when drawing room conversations, where we know this is not correct, when those conversations become national conversations, right? That's where the problem happens. And I don't think, Hindal, this has to do with a uniform civil code is a separate debate. I don't think... I don't think bigotry will stop if they were a UCC. Anuja Chauhan.
Drawing room
conversations
and
just saying that, I think it's completely surreal that people are sitting there and saying that fault lines exist. Fault lines are assiduously being stoked. They are being hammered away at, and they are being widened on a daily basis by huge amounts of money is being thrown to widen fault lines actively every single day. We are seeing it. It's happening. Things are not being addressed. There's a nudge, wink agenda going on. Things are not condemned when they should be. They are mildly condemned much later than they should be. And I do not think it's right to say that, fault lines exist and so what if advertising shows them. That is entirely incorrect. fault lines are actively being hammered away at in the society we live in.
Okay.
And advertising is merely doing the same thing that it has been doing forever. We've had Hamara Bajaj advertising since the 80s. Nobody objected to it. What has changed in our country that an ad that it would have been entirely innocuous even a few years ago is creating such a furore today?
No, but it's then, you know, as Hindal was saying, that this is what people feel. This is what people feel. Rahul Ishwar, no, one by one. I'm going to come to everyone. See, there is a... Now, you may say that let's not give legitimacy to this viewpoint.
Feel like this? Why can't people speak up for themselves? You have created an environment where people cannot speak up for themselves. They're too scared.
Yeah, that's why I come to the point on the good reality and the bad reality. The good reality, Rahul Ishwar, is that interfaith marriages exist. I mean, I know so many of my friends who are an interfaith couple. And then there is also a bad reality that communal tension also exists.
I did an intercaste marriage. My close friend who is a Muslim married a Brahmin girl and we facilitated that. Just two lines. One, just to add to what Hindoji said, who I really respect as a great scholar and historian. The greatest RSS Sarsangh Chalak, Guruji Godwalkar, said uniform civil code will destroy India. This was not my words. Uniform civil code will destroy India because it has a negative agenda. The second point, please remember, the core issue is a misplaced fear. Until and unless we address it, and that fear is of population replacement. This is the same thing happening in the US in a different way. They call it the Jew will not replace us. Chiranjeev was mentioning about QAnon. Yeah. See, there is a conspiracy theory inside our mind which we believe some enemies are. Guess why it is happening? Guess why some people outside or Muslims outside the world are not interested in India?
Okay.
But we imagine an imaginary enemy who is going to subdue all Hindus and create a narrative of Hindu khatre mein hai. We are the problem, and if there is some challenge to Hindus, it is only for people like us. Or people, you know, inside our community. So unless Hindus self-introspect and self-reflect and not close their eyes in the name of...
Okay, I've run out of time. Yeah, one moment, Rahul Ishwar. I've run out of time. I just feel that as of this moment, better institutional conviction, better political conviction could have made all the difference. I mean, UCC could have been something which would eventually come or not come or debated. But as of this moment, conviction could have helped. And that we could not see. In fact, we saw conviction in a very wrong way. You know, to a point where all those people who are threatening stores, I don't know whether action has been initiated against them. But action has been initiated against people who are talking about it. So are these misplaced priorities? I don't know. But think about it, ladies and gentlemen. Are we normalizing bigotry? And if we are not, then we have to do a lot more than what is happening as of this moment. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us. Stopping for a short break. Big Fight continues.